Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can we have the PowerPoint, please? This morning, I want to talk to you about the healthiest university. President Andreessen has come up with an idea, a vision for this university to become the healthiest university in the United States. I think it's an incredible idea. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Now, I guess they're having a little bit of struggles to get the PowerPoint up. So I think I should move this down. Is that up now? There it is. Whoa. I'll move that down a little bit. All right. I want to tell you about, well, it worked yesterday. How come my pointer's not catching your deal? Oh, great. Next slide, please. All right, I want to tell you about, you know what? I think I'm going to use this one because this one keeps being too loud. I want to tell you about five decisions that have profoundly influenced my life. The first was accepting Jesus as my Savior and Lord many years ago. The second was accepting his call to ministry. Then I married Sherry. And that was 39 years ago last month, amen? Now, actually, before I married her, I became a vegetarian, and go to the next one, and I started aerobic exercise. She actually told me, if you hadn't become a vegetarian, I wouldn't have married you. So, now just hold on. Don't go too fast down there. All right, let's see if this will work. All right. Boy, why isn't my thing making this go forward? Let's see if I turn it off and back on again. That sure would be nice, because it worked yesterday. You sure you got my, well, that would help. If there's no communication, you cannot move forward. Those guys up there, they're like, we gotta make this thing, you know, make it work. Why isn't it working? You know, and then I noticed that, well, they need that little thing. Okay, let's go to the next slide. We'll get this going pretty quick here. I'm going to talk to you about biblical foundations, seven doctrines that stand as underlying foundations for the Adventist health message. Just go through and put those up. Theology, Christology, pneumatology, anthropology. Wait, not that fast. It'll be good when I'm in charge of this. Okay. Theology, Christology, pneumatology, anthropology, soteriology, eschatology, and the Sabbath as well. Foundations for the Adventist Health Message. Now, I have to give you the Cliff Notes version today. To really go through all of this, give you all these foundations, would take an entire semester of a class, right? All right, are we linked in? We're linked in. Amen. All right. The first we start with is the question of theology. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created man and women are different than any other creature in this world because we are made in the image of God. Now, another text in Genesis, a very interesting text in Genesis 9, verses 5 and 6, illustrates the power and the meaning of the image of God. It says, and for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. Now, you can talk at length with Dr. Kish about the ethics of all this, but let me just put it in a nutshell. It's wrong to mistreat or murder people because they are made in the image of God. The image of God is our alien dignity that we are to respect. So the implications of this Imago Dei are that every person bears the Imago Dei. You cannot lose it. No matter what you do, you cannot lose it. You are stamped with the image of God. It is wrong to murder. Have you ever wondered why it's wrong to murder? The Bible says it's wrong to murder because of the Imago Dei. That means that every person deserves respect. Now just think about this in terms of the Adventist health message. Respect yourself and your body because you're made in the image of God. All right? Second, we come to Christology. Whoops, I went too fast. Let's see if I can get back. Oh, back up. Just back it up for me. There we go. Thank you. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Being a member of the body of Christ, being linked with Jesus by baptism, changes who you are ontologically. You are now part and parcel of Christ, and Christ cannot connect with a prostitute. Paul is talking about this subject in 1 Corinthians 6. So the implications, well, I'm having a little challenge here. We are connected to Christ. We should not connect ourselves to that which harms us. What is opposed to God's word harms us. So it has implications for our health message. All right, let's go on. Boy, this worked so well yesterday. Maybe I just got to stand over here. Okay, I just got to point it at the right place. Okay, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Our scripture reading for today. A temple is designed for the use of God. God uses the temple. We can put it this way. Some things are out of place in the house of God. Some things are out of place in the house of God. Glorify God with your body. All right, we've been talking about theology, about Christology, about pneumatology. You notice that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are part of the foundation for the Adventist health message? Very interesting. Okay, now we come to the question of the human body. Then the Lord God formed the man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, a nephesh, a living soul. All right? We know this when we talk about the state of the dead, what happens. But there's also implications for, shall we say, the state of the living. All right? Not just the state of the dead. Here's what the implications are. You do not have a soul. You are a soul. All right? All right. Now, what are the implications for our life? What affects your body affects all of your life, including your spiritual life. If you put bad things into your body, it affects your physical body, but it also affects your mind. It also affects your spiritual life, your social life. All these things are interlinked. Because you are a soul, you do not have a soul. Or do you not know, says 1 Corinthians 6 again, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. How many times do we hear people say, well, it's my life. Well, it's my body. I can do with it as I please. No. You have this on loan. It doesn't belong to you. And when you gave your life to Jesus, when you were redeemed, this is about soteriology, when you were redeemed, he takes control of your life. He takes control of my life. That's why I spoke about those five fundamental decisions I made long ago that have had a profound effect on my life. Our bodies do not belong to us. We don't have the rights to do with them as we please. It's the difference between a bank owner and a bank manager. The bank owner can go in and he'd take a big sack of money out of the vault, and that's his money. He can do with it as he please. But a manager is different. If the manager takes the big bag of money out of the bank, we call him a robber and a thief because it doesn't belong to him. That's our lives. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Jesus Christ. Our bodies do not belong to us. We are managers of what God has placed in our hands. Glorify God with your body. Theology, Christology, pneumatology, soteriology, anthropology, all pointing in the same direction. Let's keep going. Eschatological temperance. Luke 21, verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Eschatology. What are we talking about? Jesus is coming soon. A Seventh-day Adventist should say amen to that. Jesus is coming soon. We must be awake. We must be awake. Certain consumable items put our minds to sleep. The first is alcohol. Alcohol is a sedative. You say, it's a sedative, then why when people drink it do they become violent? Because it puts the brain to sleep. It starts working here in the frontal lobes and it works its way back and down, back to the cerebellum, and if you drink too much, it'll kill you. It's a terrible anesthetic. It doesn't work very well. But people use it all the time. But it puts you to sleep. I wrote an article for the Adventist Review a year or so ago called Why I Don't Drink Alcohol. I got an amazing letter from a lady after I wrote that article. And she told how when she was young, her father was an alcoholic. And she had two other sisters. And her father used to come home on weekends and beat up her mother. And the girls would just fade into the shadows as they watched their father beat their mother. Then she said in her letter how she watched her father wash his hands of the blood from his hands in the kitchen sink after he'd beat up her. She said, she was really thankful that the Adventist message does not include alcohol. Too much food can also put you to sleep. We are living in the last days. We're talking about eschatology here, okay? And some people say, well, maybe a little bit of this or some of that, you know. We are living in the last days waiting for Jesus to come. Eschatology teaches us to stay awake, all right? Finally, Sabbath. We come to Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Sabbath rest. How can that be that I only have 10 minutes? Everyone needs work. Everyone needs work and rest. The Sabbath reminds us we are not God. You see, the great temptation in our society is to be God, to do too much. We have all the gadgets. We have all these different things that we do. And the great temptation is to be God. The Sabbath reminds us that we are not God. The Sabbath calls us to rest and to worship. So let's summarize these truths. Theology teaches to respect the Imago Dei in everybody. Christology means to connect to what heals and not what harms. Pneumatology teaches us to put in the temple only what glorifies God. Anthropology teaches us that what affects the body affects all of us, all of you. Soteriology, we do not have a final say over ourselves. We are to glorify God with our body. Eschatology, stay awake by staying away from what puts the mind to sleep. And Sabbath rest, we are not God. We cannot do everything. We need rest. All right? Now, let me continue by quickly talking to you about what the health message is not. It is not righteousness by healthful living. There are people that think it is. And this is not the message. All right? The root is salvation by faith in Christ, and the fruit is a healthy life of service. I want you to live a long time in service for God. Now, why am I preaching this sermon today? Because I've become concerned about this seminary, about the students, the faculty, the staff of this seminary. We, my friends, need the health message of the Adventist Church, so that we can serve God in a long life of ministry. I was over in the library the other day, and I saw this new picture that had been painted of James White. How long did he live? 60 years. 60, 61 years. And I looked at that, and then I was with the dean, and I said, that's young. Now, you don't think so, but I sure do where I am standing. I think that's young. We want to live a long, healthy life. That's what the Adventist health message is designed to do for us. Now, the challenges of the American lifestyle is the obesity epidemic. I want to show you some slides real quickly that illustrate the obesity epidemic. These are slides that come from the Center for Disease Control. Okay. Well, obesity is linked to heart disease, to stroke, to type 2 diabetes, and to certain types of cancer. It's a big problem in our country. All right, here's the pictures. Oh, boy. Oh, got to tell you about the Holy Trinity of the food industry. Got to tell you about that first. I heard this on the radio a week or two ago. What are the Holy Trinity of the food industry? That's what they actually call it, the Holy Trinity of the food industry. sugar, fat, and salt. The food industry of America puts these things together to entice you, to addict you, to get you in, on their side. Now I got to move on. Here's obesity trends among U.S. adults, 1985. Look at that. You can see the percentages here. This is no data as the white ones. Then you have 10%, less than 10%, 10 to 14%. That's 1985. This is 1990. This is 1995. Now you see it's gone up to 15 to 19%. This is 2000. Now it's gone up to 20%. This is 2005. Now it's gone up to 30%. And this is 2010. This is the obesity epidemic. It's incredible. That's 1985. Three major problems. Sleep habits. Here's hours of sleep per night. How many hours of sleep are you supposed to get? 7 to 8, 7 to 9, all right? That's the 7 to 9 group. This is the less than 6 hours of sleep. On average, 40% of Americans are getting fewer than 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. It's a big problem, okay? It affects what you can do in terms of your memory and your classes. Exercise. This is the percentage of people who have no activity. They're completely sedentary. About 25 to 30% of Americans, they don't exercise at all. Okay? Now, here's the heart disease death rates. See the map? Where is it especially red? The South. All right, now look at that map. Now look at the obesity levels. Do you see a correlation? Yes. Yeah, obesity and heart disease red. Heart attacks in the United States, 1.1 million heart attacks per year. 460,000 of these are fatal. Almost 50% of these are sudden death, no warning. The first thing you know, the first thing you have evidence that you have a heart attack, you die. That's about half of the deaths from heart attacks per year, all right? Now, I want Reggie Robinson to come up here. He and I are going to have a little discussion. Where's the mic for him? Come on up here, Reggie. All right, we're going to do just a very quick little interview here. Reggie agreed to this interview. You got that on now?
Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Okay. Now, Reggie, what year are you here in the seminary?
I'm going into, this is my second year.
Put that up just so
they can
hear.
I'm going into my second year.
You're going into your second year. When you came to the seminary, how much did you weigh?
It was like 300 plus.
300 plus, okay. And how much do you weigh now?
256.
256, okay. All right, where are my ushers? Where are the ushers? They're supposed to be handing stuff out. Where's the people on this side? Okay, hand those out now. Okay. Yeah. We have a little decision card for you. Okay.
Okay. Gotcha.
Now, Reggie, what happened to you about a month or two ago?
I had a silent heart attack while I was preaching in New York.
You had a silent heart attack?
Yes.
Did you have any chest pain?
No.
No chest pain. Okay, but later on, you did have some chest pain.
Yeah, I had some chest discomfort while I was exercising.
While you were exercising, yeah. And you went to the doctor.
Yeah.
And what did they find out?
They found out that I had had a silent heart attack weeks prior to that. And they told me that had I not started exercising, that my wife would have been mailing me back here on a plane in a coffin.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how old are you, Reggie?
I'm 42.
You're 42. All right. Now, how many of you within 10 years will be 40? All right. You see, we're not just talking about something that's far off in the distance. Reggie could have died. He's one of those blessed ones that didn't die. And what did the doctors do then?
So as a result of that, they told me that they originally thought they were going to put in one stent. So when I showed up for the surgery, they wound up putting in two stents because one was 95% blocked and the other was 75% blocked.
All right. What changes have you made in your health habits?
I'm still exercising. Well, I started. They told me to wait a week, but when I got home that Sabbath Sunday, I went for a walk.
Okay.
And I've been walking or jogging. I call it wogging. It's kind of like a walk-jog type thing. So I've been doing that. Now I'm about to start my training back for my 2 5Ks I'm going to do next year.
Okay.
I had to make some dietary changes. I had to let some things go. And it's not that I'm being denied those things. I'm having delayed gratification. I want to live to be as close to 100 as I can.
Okay.
So therefore, I had to make some dietary changes. I had to start going to sleep and getting up at 5:30 to make sure I get my exercise in.
So you've been talking to your two doctors, is that right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you know who your two doctors are? It's your right leg and your left leg. You got to talk to your two doctors every day. All right, now let's just go on here. All right, here's what we can do. Now, does everybody have this little orange card? Hold it up. Hold it up, your little card. Oh, my, what happened on this side over here?
We don't want to leave you out.
Where are my ushers? Oh, my, oh, my. If this was the evangelism team, we'd have some serious talking to do. Well, peace. We wish them peace and God's blessing. I know, I got 1 minute. All right. It says 1 minute, but I'm going to take a minute until we get these handed out to the people. What happened to my cards? There's 500 of these. Okay. Now, what we can do, I put on this little card, food, sleep, and exercise. I'm giving you an opportunity. Here they come. They've come with the cards now.
All right.
I'm giving you an opportunity to make a decision of what you want to do in terms of making any changes in your life. I have a few suggestions that you might consider. In regards to food, no food between meals. Some of you might want to make that commitment. No soda pop. Maybe some of you want to say, I'll just have dessert only on Sabbath, the sweetest day of the week. Maybe you'll eat breakfast. Maybe there's something else that the Lord has convicted you that would be a good time for you to make that choice, make that decision. All right? How about exercise? Oh, only whole grains. Maybe some of you want to make that kind of thing. What about sleep? Maybe you want to go to bed at 10 o'clock. I'll tell you what. Going to bed, getting to sleep, that's the most crucial decision when you go to bed. At least 7 hours of sleep. Maybe you want to make that choice. No food 3 hours before sleep. You might want to make some of those kind of decisions. What about exercise? Park in the Howard parking lot.
You know, Doc,
now, yeah, go ahead. Let's
you know, Doc, I put that on Facebook and I got beat up. Like, why am I parking at the H-Pack? Why am I this? It's just to get a few extra steps in. You'll be surprised.
I get 500 extra steps because I park in the Howard parking lot.
And he's the reason I started parking at the H-Pack.
Yeah.
But you'll be surprised. I mean, you can just sitting at your desk in class doing stuff with your legs. You can get exercise in anywhere. And we make effort to get drinks. We get a gallon. Next month is going to be H2O month. So everybody go buy a gallon of water, and then we'll try to drink it together.
Love to come to the seminary next Tuesday morning or even tomorrow morning, and the seminary parking lot was empty. Because everybody was parking over in the Howard. Maybe you want to walk 2 miles a day. It eventually grows on you. I walk 5 miles a day. I haven't missed a day of walking in nearly 7 years. Somebody says, even in this weather, there is no bad weather, just bad clothes. You exercise first thing in the morning. That's best. There's nothing else happening then. Okay? Now, I call this the healthiest university. But there's a subtitle here, and that is starting at the seminary. I know. I understand.
Okay.
I'm very well aware of what time it is. Thank you, Reggie, and all the brothers and sisters here. When I was talking to the university president about this subject, I've been a little bit of discussion about the question of the healthiest university. And I said to him, Dr. Andreasen, I'd like that to start at the seminary. He thought that was a good idea. We have started a health promotion committee. Would the health promotion committee people please stand up? All right, we got several people here. Now, some of you might think, oh, they just have those disgusting skinny people on the health promotion committee. No. No. No, we have all kinds of people on this committee. All right, it's time to close. I want to pray with you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to consider a healthy lifestyle. Oh, Lord, bless this seminary to become the healthiest school on this campus, to help this campus become the healthiest in Michigan, and then the healthiest in the United States. We pray for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.